Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
Father, we declare that this morning. We declare that this morning that it is well with my soul. It is well. God, you know what you're doing in the hearts of every single person that is here. And sometimes we ask the question, why? God, why is this happening? Why haven't you done this and why haven't you done that? But God, you are able to see the full picture. You're able to see exactly what's going on. And you're calling us to trust in you and to declare those words that we have just sung and say, it is well with my soul. So God, this morning as we go into your word, I pray and I believe that the word that you have given to me for this congregation this morning has already been anointed, and I pray that your anointing would continue to pour out upon me this morning and that it would fall upon hearts and ears that want to hear from you this morning. But not just to hear it, but God, to also heed it and do something with it. And we will be very careful to give you all of the praise, the glory, and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, it is a pleasure to be here with you this morning. But please, you don't have to do that every single Sunday. I don't know if it felt like this for you, but there were some days where I wondered if this day would ever actually come. But I'm so glad that it's here, and I'm so happy to be here with you. Please pray for my family. My wife flew back to Airdrie on Friday morning to pick up our two daughters. They flew back from Newfoundland, and so they're all departing tomorrow morning and heading this way, and they'll be crossing the ferry on Tuesday, and I will have all of my girls back with me and as of Tuesday night, and I'm really looking forward to that because I'm stuck with their dog. And I say it because it is their dog. It's not my dog, and him and I don't always see eye to eye. So if anybody is looking to dog sit for the next couple of days, come and see me, please. He would probably love you. But at the beginning of July, I was driving home from work, and I was into the final days of my time there managing the funeral home in Northeast Calgary, and it had been a long week, particularly because it had been a very quiet week. And I know for some people think, well, that's a good thing. Not when you're a funeral director, you want it to be a busy week. But so combining this with a particularly quiet week at a funeral home, it involved a lot of sitting around. There's only so much that you can do. And on my drive home that night, I had a very vocal conversation with God because I had had a lot of time to think during the day. And have you ever had one of those vocal conversations with God? And the only way that I can really describe it, it was a case of, okay, God, I've got some things to say, and I'm going to say it. And I started this conversation with God and gave him an outline of the type of person that I am, the person that he created. Because I'm starting to think, obviously you had forgotten. You know, I know it has been 40-something years since you knit me in my mother's womb, and maybe you need a little refresher on the type of person that you've created here. So here's how the conversation went. God, you're the one who's created me. You know my personality. You know that I'm a planner. You know that I tend to get anxious. I know and you know that you have called me to Comox to pastor the church there. You knew that I had a house to sell. God, I'm feeling a little discouraged. I need you to somehow send somebody along to encourage my heart. Send them along with a word of encouragement. Send them along to be the buyer of my home. Something, God, I need some form of encouragement from you. And then I stopped. And immediately, right there in my car as I'm driving, Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, knowing that you can trust in me is all the encouragement that you need. You may even be wondering, how does Holy Spirit speak to him like this? I've never had Holy Spirit speak to me like that. Well, let me tell you two assurances. Number one, first off, I can guarantee you that it was Holy Spirit because Chad would have had a lot nicer thing to say to himself. He probably would have brought along the buyer for himself. And second, I knew that it wasn't the enemy giving me that type of encouragement. But hearing that statement, knowing that you can trust in me is all the encouragement that you need, it was a little tough. However, it was exactly what I needed that particular day. I even sent a text message to myself because I thought, I did not come up with this on my own, and if I wait until I get home, I'm going to forget this. So I hit auto-record on my phone, and it recorded the message and sent a text message to me. Have you ever had one of those moments where God downloads something into your heart? You know it was him, and you tell yourself, oh, as soon as I get home, I need to write that down because that's really good. I can't forget that. And then by the time you get home, it's like, oh, what exactly was it that God was saying to me then? And you completely forget. One thing that I might suggest to you is most of us have cell phones, right? Open it up and have a little note on the go and just call it God downloads or something like that. You know, where you can write those little words because you never know when you need that encouragement. You never know what it is that you're going to be facing where God is going to remind you of that word that he gave to you. It's difficult when going through a trying time to remember all that he has done. If you walk by Pastor Joel's office, you'll see little sticky notes going down the side of his door. And it's reminders for him. It's saying, Pastor Joel, you're awesome. Pastor Joel, you're great. You're really nice. It's all of these things. And why does he leave those there? I don't know. But for me, it would be sometimes a little reminder, you know, when I'm walking into my office to get those little reminders. How many of you back in the 80s ever watched the show Saturday Night Live? I say the 80s because I don't know if the show still goes, and I've never watched it again since. But there used to be this character on there called Stuart Smalley. Anybody know Stuart Smalley? Do you remember what Stuart Smalley used to always say? What was it? Exactly. I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves of how great we are. Getting back to this word that God spoke over me, it was a little difficult. Because, like I said, I'm a planner. I like to have things organized. And I like to have a good understanding of where we're going. I used to have one individual pipe up and say, Chad, you're such a control freak. And then another person piped in very quickly and said, no, he's not a control freak. He's an organized freak. And I thought, oh, I like that term a lot better. Because it doesn't sound, it seems to have a little bit more of a positive twist to it. But I like to have a clear outline of the direction that I'm going. I'm not a fly-by-the-seat-of-my-pants type of person. I like maps. I like communication. I like to be in the know, and trust me, you will get to know me. But this whole move thing was really tough. It was clear we had some that God and I had some ducks lined up together. Our move went so smooth from the loading of the truck to the offloading. And, oh, before I forget, I want to say a huge thank you to every single person that showed up over at Karen and Russ's to help us offload the truck. I'm sure that we did that in record timing and probably more so because it was so hot that night. But thank you. It was such a blessing to Kyle and I. And then to leave from there and to go to the house where we're currently staying and have approximately 40 people standing on the lawn welcoming us, I'm sure that the neighbors were wondering what kind of person just moved into the neighborhood. And I haven't gotten around to let them all know that I'm only here for 2 months, so it's okay. We'll be moving on soon. But I had all of my ducks in a row, so I felt. But I didn't feel like God had his ducks lined up. And it's like, come on, can we get this show on the road? But clearly, I was out of sync with God. And this morning, we're starting a three-part series. The series is called In Sync with God, and this morning the title of my message is The Download. How many of you have something that needs to be synced in order for it to work? You're wearing that device right now? Maybe you have a Fitbit that tracks your movement. Maybe you have a Bluetooth speaker that needs to be continuously hooked up to your phone so that you can get your music. Well, this past Christmas, I purchased a gift for myself. And I purchased this little handy-dandy watch. They consider it a little bit of a smart watch. It's a Garmin-type HR-something-something-smart-something-something watch. But I wanted something. When I went into the girl, I said, I want something that's going to track my workouts. I want it to track my swimming, my cycling. I want it to do all of these things for me so I don't have to think about how many laps I'm doing in the pool. And then once I got it all set up, I learned that it tracks my sleep patterns. It lets me know if I'm getting a text message, a phone call. It's an alarm clock. It goes on and on and on. And I'm realizing that this thing is quite smart. And then at the end of the day, I'm able to download and find out all of the activity that I had done and how many steps I had taken. Did you know that washing your dishes counts as steps? All of a sudden, I'll be washing dishes and this thing is vibrating and telling me that I got all my steps in. So sometimes it's a little bit off. But if you own one of these devices or something that needs to be synced, before you can do the sync, you have to download an app in order to get the two talking to each other. So you go to your phone, your tablet, your device, whatever it is, and you download the app. So the app is there, it's affiliated with the device, so you trust the source. And then you start the download process. And you see a status bar on your computer, letting you know how long this download is going to take. And if you're like me, you might sit there and think, seriously? 3 hours? I'm not going to sit here for 3 hours and watch this bar slowly go across the screen. How many of you remember the days of dial-up internet? You basically turned it on, went to bed, woke up the next morning, and you see that you're about halfway through. But think about it, though. If you could get a glimpse of what is ahead, do you think that you... Or sorry, I jumped ahead. Let me get back to my notes here. See, this is why I have notes. But have you ever noticed that we ourselves, we don't wait well? We want everything right now. This includes apps. We want our food right now. We want weight loss right now. We start our diet, and by the end of the day, we want the 20 pounds that we were hoping to lose to be gone by the time we go to bed. We want a house to sell. We wait for a delayed flight. There's so many things that we want to happen, but we end up getting stuck waiting. So what types of things do you find yourselves waiting for? Ever since June 12th, we've been waiting for our home to sell. We know that God has a plan. We're trusting in His plan. And I even said to Kyla a couple nights ago, I said, I know that God is able. I know that He can do this. And I'm just declaring all of these things. And then I finally got to the end and I thought, why isn't He doing it? So yes, I do get frustrated at times too when I have to wait on God. But think about it. If you could get a glimpse of what is ahead, do you think that that might actually affect how you would proceed? I shared this with Karen and Russ yesterday, and I'm kind of jumping ahead in the series, but I'll just give you this window into my heart. I said, if I knew everything right now, everything that I know right now, had I known this back at the end of May, early June, this would have greatly impacted a decision. We didn't realize all of the things that we would have to go through. We didn't realize all of the obstacles. However, God knew. And the weekend that we came here, we had so much confidence and faith and trust in God that He was calling us here. And you know what? That faith, that confidence, that trust, it has not changed. The God that was with us that weekend is the God that's with us today. And we continue to trust in Him. But the waiting room of life can become quite exhausting. The pacing, the huffing, the puffing, the up, the down, the checking the phone. You know, have you ever had the phantom vibrations? Meanwhile, your phone's not even in your pocket, but you feel like you're constantly getting text messages. It happens. When you're sitting in the waiting room, it seems like time stands still. There are a million things that you could be doing right now. You may even start to make a list of those things that you could be doing. What feelings do you experience when you're sitting in the waiting room? I'll be the first to admit that I don't wait well, and you've probably picked up on that already, and we're only early into it. I have to, and it's not fun. I don't always like to admit, and Dad, I know that you're going to be listening to this. This is for you. I don't always like to admit when I sound like my father. But growing up, I would look at him and I'd say, oh, I can't wait for this weekend. And my dad's response was always the same. You know what? You're going to have to. And now I've started doing that to my girls. Oh, I can't wait till I move to Comox. Well, you know what? Yes, Dad, I know. I'm going to have to. But we start to regurgitate the things of our parents. Anybody else here starting to sound like, yeah. I tell my wife all the time, I said, you open up your mouth and I hear your mom come out. But I say that to them. Oh, and Betty, I know that you're probably listening to this too. And it's nothing that I don't say to her. We do have a loving relationship. You can't see how red I am right now, but you can. But as I said, I don't typically wait well. And I think that the term that I've already come to learn, island time, is going to be a little bit tough for me. But what brought you to the waiting room? Obviously, you sensed that something was not right. Perhaps the check engine light came on in your car, so now you're waiting at the car dealership waiting for a diagnosis. Perhaps you started to experience pain in your foot. Something was out of sorts, and as we sit in the waiting room, our minds will drift to the craziest scenario. Have you ever started to Google the symptoms that's going on while you're sitting in the waiting room? By the time you get in, or by the time the doctor comes to see you, or the mechanic comes to see you, you're sitting in this pool of sweat, of anxiety, and bracing yourselves for the worst because of everything you've just read on Google about what it could possibly be. Our perceptions get out of whack. Sometimes our perceptions become our reality. This will even happen in our spiritual lives. We may be waiting on God for something. Something is out of sorts. We've been talking to God, but we're not getting any answers. So here we are, and here we sit in the waiting room. We're waiting for our God app to download, but it's taking a really long time. What do we do? And that right there is the key word, do. We don't sit well. We don't wait well. What if the test that we are in is of waiting and not doing? What if the test that God has us in right now is actually in that waiting room and not in actually doing anything right now? Even in the sale of the home, my mind would go to things that I had not yet done or perhaps had done. That was holding me back. You know, I'd start thinking, okay, oh, if only I hadn't done that. Or God, do I still need to do this? Or God, what is it that I need to do? This becomes a religious attitude, thinking that we have to do everything. And in order to gain favor, we have to do something. When you're in a relationship with someone, do you only do something for them because they have done something for you? Now, this may be the case when it comes to our children. We remind them of everything that we've done for them when we're asking them to do something for us. Am I the only person that's done that? No. It's like, what? You don't want to go and get me? But think of, oh, and I went here, and I did this for you, and I did this, and you start listing off everything. But that's not what a relationship is all about. Sometimes it is simply about the waiting. God knows what we can do. He knows the strength that we have. But can we wait on Him? If you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 15. It's going to be on the screen. You can follow along. You can open up your devices. Open up your Bible. But Genesis chapter 15, starting to read at verse 1, and it says this, and I'm reading from English Standard Version. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. Abram struggles to understand this because he doesn't even have a son. What kind of a reward are you talking about here, God? And verse 3, and Abram said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. So Abram might be feeling a little bit discouraged because everything that he has worked for is not going to remain in his family. Verse 4, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him. This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. Now, this might have been a little bit hard for him to comprehend because at this point he's thinking, I don't even have a son. Where is this son going to come from? So, and he brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and number the stars. If you are able to number them, then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. I know for me this is where it would be a little bit tough. God, I don't have a son. I look up to the sky and I see millions of stars. How is this all going to happen? Verse 7, and he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. But he said, O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? Okay, God, I want to believe you. This is just me, my interpretation as I'm reading this. I want to trust you. How are you going to make this happen? I don't think it's an abnormal question to ask how. So what happens now? Abram sits in the waiting room. Is there anything that he is able to do at this point? Chad, knowing that you can trust in me is all the encouragement that you need. Insert your name. Knowing that you can trust in me is all the encouragement that you need. Was Abram out of sync with God? I don't believe that he was. God knows our hearts. God knew the type of person that Abram was, and he knew his personality. When Abram was being knit in his mother's womb, God knew everything about him. At times, we may question God, but that doesn't kick us out of relationship with him. It may simply mean that we have perhaps come out of sync with God. For example, if I wander too far away from my phone, my watch will do a little vibration on my wrist to let me know that I've been disconnected. All during the service, my wrist kept going because my phone's sitting on my desk. I'm getting these little vibrations. Your phone is disconnected. Zzz, and it's just these little vibrations constantly going. As we sit in the waiting room, our minds will wander and we will have some crazy thoughts. I believe during those times, this is when Holy Spirit does a little zzz to us. You're out of sync. You're getting out of sync. You're disconnected. It's time to come back. You're drifting too far away. Your questions are leading you astray. Your mind wanders, and you forget all of the things that God has downloaded, and you get out of sync. This is why I believe that Paul taught us in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, he says, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, If there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Stay connected to the source. Stay connected to what God is asking you to do. Go to that little notepad on your phone and start reading those things that God has downloaded into your heart. Those little reminders that you are going to need. So here's three very simple lessons or reminders as you're waiting for the download of what God is speaking into your heart. First, train yourself to sit still. Train yourself to sit still. At times, we simply need to sit and breathe. We may laugh when we think, or someone comes along and reminds us to breathe. Breathing is something that we do automatically, but it's not. As a fitness instructor, I would be in a class and I'd be teaching people, and they'd be down on the floor and they'd be doing their crunches, and I'd go over and they're getting blood red in their face, and I'd look at them, breathe, don't forget to breathe. And they're like, I am. And they just keep going. It's like, don't forget to breathe. Ezekiel 37 verse 5 says, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I am going to put breath into you and make you live again. 1 Peter 5, 7, cast all your anxiety on him. Why? Because he cares for you. Remember to breathe. It doesn't say this in Scripture, but I'm thinking that, I know if it was me, there'd be a little bit of anxiety. And I don't know if there was for Abraham when he heard what God was going to do. Meanwhile, he doesn't have any of the items that are required. He hears, well, the number of stars is comparable to your offspring. I think for me, I might have stopped here, hands on the knees, and started to do a little bit of hyperventilating, thinking, God, I'm pushing 75 years old. Now you tell me that my offspring is going to be comparable to the number of stars? You instructed us to be fruitful and multiply, but I don't think you left the job to me. I don't think I'm the only one that you're calling to have children. I'm looking at it and thinking, I'm in my mid-40s. If Kyla came home right now and said that she was pregnant, I'm closer to being a grandfather than I am going back to starting all over again. I would have probably had a panic attack in that moment. He's thinking, I'm 75 years old. And let's start with the most obvious here, God. I still don't even have a kid. Don't forget to breathe. Don't forget to rest. When you're resting, you're able to hear. The second lesson is, remind yourself where your strength comes from. Psalm 29:11 says, the Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. And the third lesson is, know when to sit and when to move. But wait a minute. You told me that waiting means sitting. Or doesn't waiting mean sitting? Well, yes and no. And we're going to explore this as we continue on in this series, and that's more on part three. But don't forget that as the download is happening, there is still something happening. You watch the line of the download move across the screen. It's moving, but you're waiting. Something is still happening. There is activity in the waiting. We need to explore what this looks like in the season that God has us in. Isaiah 40, 29 to 31 says, he gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall what? Run and not be, they shall, and not be, exactly. As we wait for God to download to us, we are forced to wait. There is nothing that I am able to do when it comes to the sale of my home. Nothing. Not physically. But what can I do? Wait and trust in God. You may be going through something and thinking, God, what do you need me to do? And he might simply be saying to you, right now, I want you to wait. I want you to trust in me. I can see the full picture. Simply trust in me. In the waiting room, there isn't a whole lot you can do. We will even outline all that we have done in those moments. We'll outline all that God is able to do. Or we may even go to all that we have done and start reminding God, God, I've been faithful. God, I've been serving you. God, you said. And we start reminding him. We grow weary in the waiting, but God pours out strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So here's some encouragement for you. The things that are necessary in our lives, we do not need to wait for. For example, forgiveness, sanctification, salvation. These are all now things. God is at work. These things God does not delay. Waiting on God for these things is not needful. In fact, we often hinder ourselves in the receiving when we think that we have to wait for these. When we fall on our knees and we cry out to God and we ask God to forgive us of our sins, what does he do? When does he do it? He does it right now. We don't have to walk away wondering, well, I wonder if he has forgiven me for this. But God, there was that thing that I did back in my 20s, and I just don't know if you can look beyond that. Did he forgive that? Did he forgive you the things in your 30s? Will he forgive you of the things that you're going to do tomorrow if you ask him? Exactly. God's desire is that all would know him, that all people would have a relationship with him. There are things that happen now and things that need time. Forgiveness and salvation, God is ready to give to you today. So as you sit in the waiting room, instead of focusing on the symptom, think or focus on what God is doing. What is it that we're holding on to, yet waiting for God to move? What is it that's gripping you, and God is saying, I need you to release it. But God, I can't. I need you to release it. Sometimes you feel like you got two ropes, and you need to release this one and grab onto this one. God is saying, let it go. Give it to me. When we give it to God, we don't go back and pick it up again. We leave it there and trust that he will work it out. God is not going to force us to let go. He shows us what has a hold on us. It is up to us whether or not we release it. It's up to you to break the hold. Yes, I agree. The thing that happened to you as a child, it was awful. The thing that your spouse did to you, it was awful. The words that your colleague spoke over you, it was awful. The things that you had to witness and endure, those things were awful. But here's my question. Do you want to get better, or do you want to remain bitter? You've probably heard this statement before, but it bears repeating. Holding on to bitterness is like you're drinking the poison and hoping the other person is going to die. Holding on to bitterness is you're drinking the poison and you want the other person to die for what they've said or done to you. The doctor is in. What will you do? God invites us to view a season of waiting as a time to linger in his presence. To us, waiting is wasting. To God, waiting is working. And I'm going to close with these 10 things. It's a little homework for you. Chris is going to put them up on the screen. You can write them down. You can take a screenshot once they're all up there. First, do not lose confidence in God's goodness. Number two, be strong. Do not lose hope. Be patient. Let God be your shield and your hope. Continue to cry out to God. Cling to His word. Watch for His answers. Trust in His unfailing love. And rejoice in His redemption. What is God downloading in you this morning? What is it that He's been speaking into your heart? What is it that you simply need to bring, lay at His feet, leave it there, get up, and walk away? And once you get to the door and you're feeling good, don't attempt to run back and pick it up and take it on again. Leave it at His feet and trust Him. You know what it is that you are waiting on God for. I know what I'm waiting on God for. I continue to trust in Him. I continue to believe His promise. Joel is going to lead us in a portion of that song again, "It Is Well." And I'm going to invite us to stand across this place. And if you are ready, I want you to declare that this morning and say, "God, I can't see it. I don't know, but it is well with my soul. And I am going to trust in You." And if you need prayer this morning and you need somebody to agree with you on that, we do invite you to come. There's a prayer team here. I want to pray with you. The prayer team wants to pray with you. I will be back to close in just a few moments. But just for these next few moments, let's sing that song, "It Is Well."
When peace like a river ascendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, Thou by singing that fourth verse. "Lord, haste the day," singing of our great hope of the coming of Christ.
Lord, haste the day when my face shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul.
Let's declare that this morning.
It is well.
It is well with our soul, God.
With my soul.
Our trust, our confidence is in You.
It is well. It is well with my soul.
Let's sing that one more time.
It is well.
It is well.
It is well.
With my soul.
With my soul.
It is well. It is well. With my soul.
Father, only you know what you have been speaking to every single heart in this place this morning. You know the things that they have seen. You know the experiences that they have gone through. You know the pain that they have suffered. And God, I'm thankful this morning that you are the great physician. You are the one who is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we could ever ask, think, or even imagine. God, we are in that season of waiting. Waiting on you. And God, I pray that our hearts would be tuned to you. And whatever it is that you ask us to do, God, that we would do it. We would take that step of faith. If we hear you saying that the waters are about to part, we're going to start putting our feet down into that water. And as our foot hits the ground, the waters will be separated. Our trust, our faith, our confidence is in you. God, we thank you for everything that you've been doing in this place. We thank you for what you've been doing in the hearts of these people. And God, it's time for us to move. We're ready. We are here. God, use us. And as we go from this place today, God, I pray that we would take the light of Jesus Christ with us. God, that you would bring people into our paths this week, or you would cause conversations to take place where we have the opportunity to speak into another person's life, to encourage them, to let them know of the love that God has for them. God, you love them, and we love them. Use us. Use us. Open those doors, and we will walk with knowing that you are leading every single step that we take. And we thank you for this. And we ask all of these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.